Hi, this morning what I really wanted to talk to you about just my experiences that I had when I decided to start writing a book. I was out of work for a number of years and I had been sick for like 3 or 4 or 5 years. And I decided that in my hands while I was trying to figure out how to manage my illness, I could just try and distract myself by doing something else that I liked. Besides being at home and taking care of my children, I kind of felt like, what else could I do? I wasn't at work. I loved doing my job. And I wasn't shopping. I didn't have enough money to go shopping. And I didn't have any friends at that point because we had left, we had moved from where we lived originally. And when we returned, everybody had deserted us. So we just decided to buy a home in a different area, a different part of town. And there was nothing to do in that town. A lot of people who lived in our neighborhood, they just had like young kids. And my kids were almost adult and some of them were like in middle school. And it was just a different place to be. And I've decided, well, since I like to read magazines, I like to read books, why don't I just try and sit down and write a book? And that's how it all started. So I started by writing. At first, it was just me jotting down all my negative feelings about how badly I felt about living in a place where we lived, how tough everything was, how I hated myself for making bad decisions, how I hated my life, how everything was just going downhill and going south no matter what I did. And I would write these diary notes on a daily basis. I would leave them on the counter, read them as the day went by. And every time I had obsessive thoughts, I would just jot down whatever was on my mind. Even if it was taboo, I just wrote everything down. And I developed this sense of routine of wanting to express myself. So one day, instead of just writing down these ideas, I just sat down on my desk and I started writing. A story started. And I felt like, oh, this story is not going to last very long, because if I'm writing a novel should be at least about 50 or 60 pages. But I was thinking, I feel like concluding this story. And I was like, oops, I should try something else. Maybe I cannot write a novel. Maybe at this point I should just start by writing short stories. And that's how I began to realize that I did have talent for writing, because there was an option. I wasn't going to be stuck. Like, sometimes novelists are, sometimes you find people say, oh, I just blanked out. I just need to sit down and waste time for like maybe 2 or 3 months or 2 or 3 weeks before I can get back to my book. I didn't want to be one of those writers. I wanted to be the writer who had a purpose. It was my first time and I kind of felt like pausing would sort of like discourage me. It would take away that oomph which I felt like I had. And I wasn't going to be able to get back to my book. So deciding to write a short story for me was such a blessing, because then at that point it organized my thinking process. And I found that I had a lot of stories that were going on in my head. And that's when everything started pouring out. And I found out that also, as you are writing, sometimes it doesn't matter. You can write, like, have spelling errors. You can have different form, you can think in a certain way and maybe your sentences won't be grammatically correct, but just writing them down is and of itself an experience that you need to go through, because you need to release whatever energy that you have inside you, which tells you that you can write. Writing is not a talent for everybody to begin with. And secondly, the language itself, we all use English as our primary language. So when you're writing, language itself does not allow you to express yourself anyhow. You have to get permission from the language to let you express yourself in that particular language. If you're writing in Arabic, for instance, you want to be focused as an Arabic writer. You don't want to write as an English writer who understands or speaks Arabic. You want to write as somebody who's experiencing those emotions as an Arabic person or as an Arab. So, as I was going through that gleaning process of just getting permission to use English, for me it was important because English is not my first language. So when I did write, and I had to sort of like go back and forth, I found out that also not just the language itself, but all the experiences that I'd had, that sort of like gathered and made this big, I don't know if it was something that was like organized against me by my thinking process, but I kind of felt like everything that I believed in, self-esteem, self-worth, self-gratification, and liking others and being kind and loving, all of those good emotions, they turned against me. And they sort of like were asking me, who are you to think that you can exude these feelings on paper? We have these feelings internally, but once you write it on paper, then you are giving them away. You are showing something to someone else who was not aware of that you even possess that emotion, or you even possess that thought, or you're in an ownership of that way of thinking. So I found this internal struggle within me to be an inspiration, because then I've kind of felt like, yes, I am sick, but I have this other project that I have going on in my life. And I really think that instead of thinking about how bad my life has gone, why don't I change gears and think about being literally having somebody stand up to me and say, look, why are you coming this side of the equation? You were sick. Why don't you just remain ill? Why are you now trying to show that part of yourself which you hope you never ever experience or find out about? Once I sort of like understood that that was something that was going on inside me, then writing for me became a freeing experience. I found that once my short stories were finished, I had to go back and revise them. The original thought that I had before was no longer the same as the thought that I had the second time when I made the second revision, the third revision, the fourth revision. By the time I think I didn't even make that many revisions, because the stories were perfect the way that they were, but there was something else going on. What was going on was my conscience was telling me, when you started this adventure, you started to write as a novelist. You did not start to write as a short story writer. Now tell the truth, go back. And I did. So that's how I started writing. So when I went online just to learn just the technical part of it, I found that there were a lot of people who were out there who were literally going through the same process, who were talking about self-publishing, who were, had all these books that they'd written and they had different experiences. I found that to be really comforting, and I was happy to notice that my story was not like everybody else's, and everybody had a unique story. Nobody was saying, oh, we're all writers, therefore this is how we feel. We're all writers, this is how we believe, this is how we live. So it was really nice to find a community that had all these experiences that were written on paper, who also wanted to be out there to support other writers. Here are my tips. First, spelling errors. That's a big one. You can never ever have an error in your final product. And also knowing which language you're using. Are you using English, or are you using a derivative of an English language that you know, number one? Or if you're not a native English speaking person, you're not writing based on your native language but using English words. So that's another problem too that I noticed. It wasn't really a problem for me. It was more like I thought, oh, when I first started writing, I was like, oh, I'm gonna write in slang, it's not gonna be a formal book. But having studied English in a formal setting, and also the level of intensity that I had spent in my lower primary school and high school, how much time I spent learning English, that's what made me refocus and come back to the formal way of writing, and come back to the formal way of expressing myself in the English language. That's a very big deal. And I was surprised by that. I really was, because I even started perusing all the books and sites in England, because I was thinking, well, the English language probably might have first been more of a big deal in England, because England, I kind of felt like that's where maybe somebody needs to get permission to do it. And I think I wrote to someone and I said, well, you know, I think I need permission to write in English. I'm trying to write a book. I'm just letting you know that I'm going to be using your language, if that's okay. Of course, I didn't get a response, but I just had the need to do that, because I kind of felt like this is such a big deal. I've had all these internal feelings about this subject. Probably I need to ask someone for permission. That's the first thing. And then the second thing that I found to be useful, and I think I've told someone this, because somebody has asked me like just to say, and this is the reason why I'm making this podcast, because many people have asked me, oh, how was it like when you started writing? How can you start from somebody who really has no skill? I mean, it doesn't matter how the outcome is. I'm not saying that, oh, I'm making this podcast because my book is exceptional or whatever. It's just a matter of saying, how can you start from zero and end up at one? Other people start from zero, maybe probably end up at 6 or 7 or 10 even. But I started from zero, maybe I'm at one. That transformation, I think that's what people are asking me about. What is the transformation? How did you get through the transformation of starting as a nothing and then be able to say, here is a product that I produced with my own ideas, with my own expertise, without really having somebody hold my hand and write down what it is that I ended up writing? And that's what this is about. It's not about saying, oh, I'm a wonderful writer, I've written more than one book or whatever. It's just saying that I didn't have this before, now I have it. So that's what I'm talking about. So I found that the second thing is you have to be present in your book. You don't participate. You are not part of the characters that you're talking about. You are just, it's like you're gossiping literally about people that you've observed, experiences that these people are going through, and all the problems that you let them face and how they solve the problems. This may be something that you may have experienced yourself in your personal life, but at the end of the day, it's not, you're not writing a biography, you're writing fiction. So you wanna have some type of, fine, you're familiar. Let's say you've been a surgeon, you know how surgery, how, what you're supposed to do, for instance, if you are going to be performing surgery. So if you're writing a novel, fiction, you're not gonna go through and say, well, how to perform surgery. You're gonna say, well, one of your characters had this procedure done. And then you may explain in detail about how the procedure was done, and that's where the reader will be able to tell that you actually do have the expertise of performing that particular surgery. But the idea of the book is not about the surgery, it's about the character that is going through the, that's what I mean. And the other thing that I noticed is that, like, the days of the weeks, when you're talking about something in your book, like, you can't say, oh, on a Monday or on a Wednesday there was a church event, when in fact Christians go to church on Sunday and they're writing about Christians. You can't say that. And another thing too, you have to be particular about particular experiences, like gender experiences. If you don't want to identify gender, for instance, so you can write about gender neutral experiences, but you can't assign a gender role of a female and then the story is about a man. That confusion sometimes is not acceptable, I think. Well, I don't know, because I'm not an editor. I'm just saying that in general, you want your book to be streamlined. Another thing too is you have to be careful about, you can't talk about somebody who's of low income and then all of a sudden, like, oh, I can say I'm on welfare, but then I have stocks in cryptocurrency, for instance. That wouldn't make sense. So you wanna have, you wanna be in sync. You wanna keep up with what the storyline has to make sense. I mean, I'm not saying, oh, if you're an author, you have to be rich in order to be able to write about rich. No, the point is your characters, they have to be in streamlined. They have to have believable experiences, even if those experiences aren't true. You're making these stories up, but the stories need to keep up with the thinking behind what the characters are up to, what the instincts of the characters are about, and what they're likely to do and what they're not likely to do. And also something about race. This one, only because race is so controversial, and I think this one really depends on the author and the type of a person you are as a person. Like, are you a tolerant person? I think that's where people get to figure out who you are. But in general, I kind of feel like race, you should also be careful about what it is that you want to talk about. Like, if you feel like you can be taboo, yeah, yes, you can. If you feel like you want to address racial problems and all racial strife, yeah, you can. That's up to you, and that's why you're in order. But for me, I found that because I'm in my own life, I don't necessarily see race. So I try to sort of like build up my characters to be sort of, to be really, really fiction. Actually, I would be very happy if people, after they read my book, if they kind of felt like, You know, I don't think people like that exist. To me, that should be a compliment, only because I want to entertain people. It's not about saying, this is what I've observed with racism, or this is how I felt, these are the experiences that I've had. To me, it's about saying, I want this book to take you to another level, to a level where you can dream, to a level where you can be angry without having to experience anger or have a fight or a discussion with another person. So I want my characters to be so outrageous that they do not have to have like memorable scars that they leave in your heart or in your head. I want my characters to be like, to make you smile, even if they do things that are evil, even if they do things that are bad, even if they are committing crime in whatever story that they are engaged in. I want the reader to be able to say, oh, as if that would happen. I think that's what I'm aiming for. Even if, like, for instance, when I see The Walking Dead on TV, the story is so outrageous, the people look so outrageous that I'm like, oh, I would hate to experience something like that, but probably in my next life I might experience it. Then I think that's what fiction is about. It's about saying, that's just too outrageous. I don't think it should happen. And if it does happen, I'll probably hope it should be my next life and I'll be more careful. And that's why I try to exaggerate my characters in terms of things that I find to be taboo. Like, I find racism to be very taboo. So when you read my books, you won't get a sense like, oh, this is an angry black woman, or this is a single mother, or this is a scorned wife, or this is a black person, or whatever. You just get a sense that, oh, this is just she might be trying too hard, but I'm not really sure where she's going with this. And that's what I like about not being specific. And to me, maybe this might be a criticism, that's what's behind my books. That is what is behind my stories, because I am more looking for things that are humane experiences, as opposed to facts or fiction. Like, I don't want the person to walk up and say, yeah, I know your novel is fiction, but that will never ever happen. I want the person to say, yeah, it's fiction, but if it were to happen, it would be nice. I think it has happened. I think it might happen. That's what I think also is important that writers should be aware of, especially new writers. Another thing that I found to be interesting was how to use punctuation marks. Of course, if you've learned English under like really strict guidelines, there are ways that you were supposed to use punctuation marks. But I just found that fiction allows people to use tools in different ways, and that's why it's fiction. So I use punctuation marks to sort of like engage the reader, and also in a way to just like help the reader be able to pause and say, oh, I don't think you're supposed to put a comma there. Oh, I don't think, you know, just like it's a technical way of making the person, because I know once we've left school and we've been in our lives for a long time, there's really no need to be formal, there's no need to be precise. But I think, like, let's say you've been raising kids, your life has been so busy, and you read something, you're like, oh, it makes you think of something different. The example for me would be, I was busy writing and I'm making corrections with my books, I'm doing all these things. And then all of a sudden I was Googling, and then I see this site about soap making. So I look into it and I was like, oh, this is interesting. And I started making my own soap. And I looked at the women who were making their own soap. They look like moms who've been working for a number of years, or housewives who've been at home for a number of years, who are just doing something for extra income. And the more I got into it, then I realized, I was like, you know what? Probably these women, they were good in chemistry in high school. And I'm sure they had even forgotten that they were good in chemistry in high school. But just making this soap and just doing all these things and having to pay attention to all of these chemical reactions which are producing the soap might have taken them back to their life when they were really, really good at school and they didn't know that they're going to end up being housewives. So that's what my aim is when I'm writing my book. I want the story and the experiences that the characters have, I want those interactions, even if the storyline might not be as like a blockbuster story, I want the story to be brisk yet intuitive. What I mean is by intuitive, I mean make the reader be able to remember what was good about them in their lives. Make the reader think about something that they never thought about before. Make the reader want to change their behavior, even if they don't succeed. Just that moment of capturing their attention, I think is very important. I'm going to add today's podcast, and then I'm going to check and see if I have any more. I think I'm going to be adding any more as time goes on. And I hope you're going to enjoy it. Thank you. Bye. Hi, this morning what I really wanted to talk to you about just my experiences that I had when I decided to start writing a book. I was out of work for a number of years, and I had been sick for like 3 or 4 or 5 years, and I decided in my hands while I was trying to figure out how to manage my illness, I could just try and distract myself by doing something else that I like. Besides being at home and taking care of my children, I kind of felt like, what else could I do? I wasn't at work. I love doing my job. And I wasn't shopping. I didn't have enough money to go shopping. And I didn't have any friends at that point because we had left, we had moved from where we lived originally. And when we returned, everybody had deserted us. So we just decided to buy a home in a different area, a different part of town. And there was nothing to do in that town. A lot of people who lived in our neighborhood, they just had like young kids. And my kids were almost adults, and some of them were like in middle school. And this was just a different place to be. And I've decided, well, since I like to read magazines, I like to read books, why don't I just try and sit down and write a book? And that's how it all started. So I started by writing. At first, it was just me jotting down all my negative feelings about how badly I felt about living in a place where we lived, how tough everything was, how I hated myself for making bad decisions, how I hated my life, how everything was just going downhill and going south no matter what I did. And I would write these diary notes on a daily basis. I would leave them on the counter, read them as the day went by. And every time I had obsessive thoughts, I would just jot down whatever was on my mind. Even if it was taboo, I just wrote everything down. And I developed this sense of routine of wanting to express myself. So one day, instead of just writing down these ideas, I just sat down on my desk and I started writing. The story started. And I felt like, oh, this story is not going to last very long, because if I'm writing a novel should be at least about 50 or 60 pages. But I was thinking, I feel like concluding this story. And I was like, oops, I should try something else. Maybe I cannot write a novel. Maybe at this point I should just start by writing short stories. And that's how I began to realize that I did have talent for writing, because there was an option. I wasn't going to be stuck. Like, sometimes novelists are, sometimes you find people say, oh, I just blanked out. I just need to sit down and waste time for like maybe 2 or 3 months or 2 or 3 weeks before I can get back to my book. I didn't want to be one of those writers. I wanted to be the writer who had a purpose. It was my first time, and I kind of felt like pausing would sort of like discourage me. It would take away that oomph which I felt like I had, and I wasn't going to be able to get back to my book. So deciding to write a short story for me was such a blessing, because then at that point it organized my thinking process. And I found that I had a lot of stories that were going on in my head. And that's when everything started pouring out. And I found out that also, as you were writing, sometimes it doesn't matter. You can write, like, have spelling errors. You can have different form, you can think in a certain way, and maybe your sentences won't be grammatically correct, but just writing them down is and of itself an experience that you need to go through, because you need to release whatever energy that you have inside you, which tells you that you can write. Writing is not a talent for everybody to begin with. And secondly, the language itself we all use English as our primary language. So when you're writing, language itself does not allow you to express yourself anyhow. You have to get permission from the language to let you express yourself in that particular language. If you're writing in Arabic, for instance, you want to be focused as an Arabic writer. You don't want to write as an English writer who understands or speaks Arabic. You want to write as somebody who's experiencing those emotions as an Arabic person or as an Arab. So, as I was going through that gleaning process of just getting permission to use English, for me it was important because English is not my first language. So when I did write and I had to sort of like go back and forth, I found out that also not just the language itself, but all the experiences that I'd had, that sort of like gathered and made this big, I don't know if it was something that was like organized against me by my thinking process, but I kind of felt like everything that I believed in, self-esteem, self-worth, self-gratification, and liking others and being kind and loving, all of those good emotions, they turned against me and they sort of like were asking me, who are you to think that you can exude these feelings on paper? We have these feelings internally, but once you write it on paper, then you are giving them away. You are showing something to someone else who was not aware of that you even possess that emotion, or you even possess that thought, or you're in an ownership of that way of thinking. So I found this internal struggle within me to be an inspiration, because then I've kind of felt like, yes, I am sick, but I have this other project that I have going on in my life. And I really think that instead of thinking about how bad my life has gone, why don't I change gears and think about being literally having somebody stand up to me and say, look, why are you coming this side of the equation? You were sick. Why don't you just remain ill? Why are you now trying to show that part of yourself which you hope you never ever experience or find out about? Once I sort of like understood that that was something that was going on inside me, then writing for me became a freeing experience. I found that once my short stories were finished, I had to go back and revise them. The original thought that I had before was no longer the same as the thought that I had the second time when I made the second revision, the third revision, the fourth revision. By the time I think I didn't even make that many revisions, because the stories were perfect the way that they were, but there was something else going on. What was going on was my conscience was telling me, when you started this adventure, you started to write as a novelist. You did not start to write as a short story writer. Now tell the truth, go back. And I did. So that's how I started writing. So when I went online just to learn just the technical part of it, I found that there were a lot of people who were out there who were literally going through the same process, who were talking about self-publishing, who were, had all these books that they'd written and they had different experiences. I found that to be really comforting, and I was happy to notice that my story was not like everybody else's, and everybody had a unique story. Nobody was saying, oh, we're all writers, therefore this is how we feel. We're all writers, this is how we believe, this is how we live. So it was really nice to find a community that had all these experiences that were written on paper, who also wanted to be out there to support other writers. Here are my tips. First, spelling errors. That's a big one. You can never ever have an error in your final product. And also knowing which language you're using. Are you using English, or are you using a derivative of an English language that you know, number one? Or if you're not a native English speaking person, you are not writing based on your native language, but using English words. So that's another problem too that I noticed. It wasn't really a problem for me. It was more like I thought, oh, when I first started writing, I was like, oh, I'm going to write in slang. It's not going to be a formal book. But having studied English in a formal setting, and also the level of intensity that I had spent in my lower primary school and high school, how much time I spent learning English, that's what made me refocus and come back to the formal way of writing and come back to the formal way of expressing myself in the English language. That's a very big deal. And I was surprised by that. I really was, because I even started perusing all the books and sites in England, because I was thinking, well, the English language probably might have first been more of a big deal in England, because England, I kind of felt like that's where maybe somebody needs to get permission to do it. And I think I wrote to someone and I said, well, you know, I think I need permission to write in English. I'm trying to write a book. I'm just letting you know that I'm going to be using your language if that's okay. Of course, I didn't get a response, but I just had the need to do that because I kind of felt like this is such a big deal. I've had all these internal feelings about this subject. Probably I need to ask someone for permission. That's the first thing. And then the second thing that I found to be useful, and I think I've told someone this because somebody has asked me, like, just to say, and this is the reason why I'm making this podcast, because many people have asked me, how was it like when you started writing? How can you start from somebody who really has no skill? I mean, it doesn't matter how the outcome is. I'm not saying that, I'm making this podcast because my book is exceptional or whatever. It's just a matter of saying, how can you start from zero and end up at one? Other people start from zero, maybe probably end up at 6 or 7 or at 10 even. But I started from zero, maybe I'm at one. That's transformation. I think that's what people are asking me about. What is the transformation? How did you get through the transformation of starting as a nothing and then be able to say, here is a product that I produced with my own ideas, with my own expertise, without really having somebody hold my hand and write down what it is that I end up writing. And that's what this is about. It's not about saying, oh, I'm a wonderful writer, I've written more than one book or whatever it is. It's just saying that I didn't have this before, now I have it. So that's what I'm talking about. So I found that the second thing is you have to be present in your book. You don't participate. You are not part of the characters that you're talking about. You are just, it's like you are gossiping literally about people that you've observed, experiences that these people are going through, and all the problems that you let them face and how they solve the problems. This may be something that you may have experienced yourself in your personal life, but at the end of the day, you're not writing a biography, you're writing fiction. So you wanna have some type of, fine, you're familiar. Let's say you've been a surgeon, you know how surgery, how what you're supposed to do, for instance, if you are going to be performing surgery. So if you're writing a novel, fiction, you're not gonna go through and say, well, how to perform surgery. You're gonna say, well, one of your characters had this procedure done. And then you may explain in detail about how the procedure was done, and that's where the reader will be able to tell that you actually do have the expertise of performing that particular surgery. But the idea of the book is not about the surgery, it's about the character that is going through the, that's what I mean. And the only thing that I noticed is that, like, the days of the weeks, when you're talking about something in your book, like, you can't say, oh, on a Monday or on a Wednesday there was a church event, when in fact Christians go to church on Sunday and they're writing about Christians. You can't say that. And another thing too, you have to be particular about particular experiences, like gender experiences. If you don't want to identify gender, for instance, so you can write about gender neutral experiences, but you can't assign a gender role of a female and then the story is about a man. That confusion sometimes is not acceptable, I think. Well, I don't know, because I'm not an editor. I'm just saying that in general, you want your book to be streamlined. Another thing too is you have to be careful about, you can't talk about somebody who's of low income and then all of a sudden, like, oh, I can't say I'm on welfare, but then I have stocks in cryptocurrency, for instance. That wouldn't make sense. So you wanna be in sync. You wanna keep up with what the storyline has to make sense. I mean, I'm not saying, oh, if you're an author, you have to be rich in order to be able to write about rich. No, the point is your characters, they have to be in streamlined. They have to have believable experiences, even if those experiences aren't true. You're making these stories up, but the stories need to keep up with the thinking behind what the characters are up to, what the instincts of the characters are about, and what they're likely to do and what they're not likely to do. And also something about race. This one, only because race is so controversial, and I think this one really depends on the author and the type of a person you are as a person. Like, are you a tolerant person? I think that's where people get to figure out who you are. But in general, I kind of feel like, Grace, you should also be careful about what it is that you want to talk about. Like, if you feel like you can be taboo, yeah, yes, you can. If you feel like you want to address racial problems and all racial strife, yeah, you can. That's up to you. And that's why you're an author. But for me, I found that because I'm in my own life, I don't necessarily see race. So I try to sort of like build up my characters to be sort of to be really, really fiction. Actually, I would be very happy if people, after they read my book, if they kind of felt like, you know, I don't think people like that exist. To me, that should be a compliment, only because I want to entertain people. It's not about saying, this is what I've observed with racism, or this is how I felt, these are the experiences that I've had. To me, it's about saying, I want this book to take you to another level, to a level where you can dream, to a level where you can be angry without having to experience anger or have a fight or a discussion with another person. So I want my characters to be so outrageous that they do not have to have like memorable scars that they leave in your heart or in your head. I want my characters to be like, to make you smile, even if they do things that are evil, even if they do things that are bad, even if they are committing crime in whatever story that they are engaged in. I want the reader to be able to say, oh, as if that would happen. I think that's what I'm aiming for. Even if, like, for instance, when I see The Walking Dead on TV, the story is so outrageous, the people look so outrageous that I'm like, oh, I would hate to experience something like that, but probably in my next life I might experience it. Then I guess, and I think that's what fiction is about. It's about saying, that's just too outrageous. I don't think it should happen. And if it does happen, I'll probably hope it will be my next life and I'll be more careful. And that's why I try to exaggerate my characters in terms of things that I find to be taboo. Like, I find racism to be very taboo. So when you read my books, you won't get a sense like, oh, this is an angry black woman, or this is a single mother, or this is a scorned wife, or this is a black person, or whatever. You just get a sense that, oh, this is just person, she might be trying too hard, but I'm not really sure where she's going with this. And that's what I like about not being specific. And to me, maybe this might be a criticism, that's what's behind my books. That is what is behind my stories, because I am more looking for things that are human, humane experiences, as opposed to facts or fiction. Like, I don't want a person to walk up and say, yeah, I know your novel is fiction, but that will never ever happen. I want the person to say, yeah, it's fiction, but if it were to happen, it would be nice. I think it has happened. I think it might happen. That's what I think also is important that writers should be aware of, especially new writers. Another thing that I found to be interesting was how to use punctuation marks. Of course, if you've learned English under like really strict guidelines, there are ways that you were supposed to use punctuation marks. But I just found that fiction allows people to use tools in different ways, and that's why it's fiction. So I use punctuation marks to sort of like engage the reader, and also in a way to just like help the reader be able to pause and say, oh, I don't think you're supposed to put a comma there. Oh, I don't think, you know, just like it's a technical way of making the person, because I know once we've left school and we've been in our lives for a long time, there's really no need to be formal, there's no need to be precise. But I think, like, let's say you've been raising kids, your life has been so busy, and you read something and like, oh, it makes you think of something different. The example for me would be, I was busy writing and I'm making corrections with my books, I'm doing all these things. And then all of a sudden I was Googling, and then I see this site about soap making. So I look into it and I was like, oh, this is interesting. And I started doing, and I started making my own soap. And I looked at the women who were making their own soap. They looked like moms who've been working for a number of years, or housewives who've been at home for a number of years, who are just doing something for extra income. And the more I got into it, then I realized, I was like, you know what? Probably these women, they were good in chemistry in high school. And I'm sure they had even forgotten that they were good in chemistry in high school. But just making this soap and just doing all these things and having to pay attention to all of these chemical reactions which are producing the soap might have taken them back to their life when they were really, really good at school and they didn't know that they're going to end up being housewives. So that's what my aim is when I'm writing my book. I want the story and the experiences that the characters have, I want those interactions, even if the storyline might not be as like a blockbuster story. I want the story to be brisk yet intuitive. What I mean is by intuitive, I mean make the reader be able to remember what was good about them in their lives. Make the reader think about something that they never thought about before. Make the reader want to change their behavior, even if they don't succeed. Just that moment of capturing their attention, I think it's very important. I'm going to add today's podcast, and then I'm going to check and see if I have any more. I think I'm going to be adding any more as time goes on. And I hope you're going to enjoy it. Thank you. Bye. Hi, this morning what I really wanted to talk to you about just my experiences that I had when I decided to start writing a book. I was out of work for a number of years and I had been sick for like 3 or 4 or 5 years, and I decided that in my hands, while I was trying to figure out how to manage my illness, I could just try and distract myself by doing something else that I liked. Besides being at home and taking care of my children, I kind of felt like, what else could I do? I wasn't at work. I loved doing my job, and I wasn't shopping. I didn't have enough money to go shopping. And I didn't have any friends at that point because we had moved from where we lived originally. And when we returned, everybody had deserted us. So we just decided to buy a home in a different area, in a different part of town. And there was nothing to do in that town. A lot of people who lived in our neighborhood, they just had like young kids. And my kids were almost adults and some of them were like in middle school. And it was just a different place to be. And I've decided, well, since I like to read magazines, I like to read books, why don't I just try and sit down and write a book? And that's how it all started. So I started by writing. At first, it was just me jotting down all my negative feelings about how badly I felt about living in a place where we lived, how tough everything was, how I hated myself for making bad decisions, how I hated my life, how everything was just going downhill and going south no matter what I did. And I would write these diary notes on a daily basis. I would leave them on the counter, read them as the day went by. And every time I had obsessive thoughts, I would just jot down whatever was on my mind. Even if it was taboo, I just wrote everything down. And I developed this sense of routine of wanting to express myself. So one day, instead of just writing down these ideas, I just sat down on my desk and I started writing. The story started. And I felt like, oh, the story is not going to last very long, because if I'm writing a novel should be at least about 50 or 60 pages. But I was thinking, I feel like concluding this story. And I was like, oops, I should try something else. Maybe I cannot write a novel. Maybe at this point I should just start by writing short stories. And that's how I began to realize that I did have talent for writing, because there was an option. I wasn't going to be stuck like, sometimes novelists are, sometimes you find people say, I just blanked out. I just need to sit down and waste time for like maybe 2 or 3 months or 2 or 3 weeks before I can get back to my book. I didn't want to be one of those writers. I wanted to be the writer who had a purpose. It was my first time and I kind of felt like pausing would sort of like discourage me. It would take away that oomph which I felt like I had, and I wasn't going to be able to get back to my book. So deciding to write a short story for me was such a blessing, because then at that point, it organized my thinking process. And I found that I had a lot of stories that were going on in my head. And that's when everything started pouring out. And I found out that also, as you were writing, sometimes it doesn't matter. You can write, like, have spelling errors. You can have different form. You can think in a certain way. And maybe your sentences won't be grammatically correct. But just writing them down is and of itself an experience that you need to go through, because you need to release whatever energy that you have inside you, which tells you that you can write. Writing is not a talent for everybody to begin with. And secondly, the language itself, we all use English as our primary language. So when you're writing, language itself does not allow you to express yourself anyhow. You have to get permission from the language to let you express yourself in that particular language. If you're writing in Arabic, for instance, you want to be focused as an Arabic writer. You don't want to write as an English writer who understands or speaks Arabic. You want to write as somebody who's experiencing those emotions as an Arabic person or as an Arab. So, as I was going through that gleaning process of just getting permission to use English, for me it was important because English is not my first language. So when I did write and I had to sort of like go back and forth, I found out that also not just the language itself, but all the experiences that I'd had, they sort of like gathered and made this big, I don't know if it was something that was like organized against me by my thinking process, but I kind of felt like everything that I believed in, self-esteem, self-worth, self-gratification, and liking others and being kind and loving, all of those good emotions, they turned against me. And they sort of like were asking me, who are you to think that you can exude these feelings on paper? We have these feelings internally, but once you write it on paper, then you are giving them away. You are showing something to someone else who was not aware of that you even possess that emotion, or you even possess that thought, or you're in an ownership of that way of thinking. So I found this internal struggle within me to be an inspiration, because then I've kind of felt like, yes, I am sick, but I have this other project that I have going on in my life. And I really think that instead of thinking about how bad my life has gone, why don't I change gears and think about being literally having somebody stand up to me and say, look, why are you coming this side of the equation? You were sick. Why don't you just remain ill? Why are you now trying to show that part of yourself which you hope you never ever experience or find out about? Once I sort of like understood that that was something that was going on inside me, then writing for me became a freeing experience. I found that once my short stories were finished, I had to go back and revise them. The original thought that I had before was no longer the same as the thought that I had the second time when I made the second revision, the third revision, the fourth revision. By the time I think I didn't even make that many revisions, because the stories were perfect the way that they were, but there was something else going on. What was going on was my conscience was telling me, when you started this adventure, you started to write as a novelist. You did not start to write as a short story writer. So now tell the truth, go back. And I did. So that's how I started writing. So when I went online just to learn just the technical part of it, I found that there were a lot of people who were out there who were literally going through the same process, who were talking about self-publishing, who had all these books that they'd written and they had different experiences. I found that to be really comforting, and I was happy to notice that my story was not like everybody else's, and everybody had a unique story. Nobody was saying, oh, we're all writers, therefore this is how we feel. We're all writers, this is how we believe, this is how we live. So it was really nice to find a community that had all these experiences that were written on paper, who also wanted to be out there to support other writers. Here are my tips. First, spelling errors. That's a big one. You can never ever have an error in your final product. And also knowing which language you're using. Are you using English, or are you using a derivative of an English language that you know, number one? Or if you're not a native English speaking person, you're not writing based on your native language, but using English words. So that's another problem too that I noticed. It wasn't really a problem for me. It was more like I thought, oh, when I first started writing, I was like, well, I'm going to write in slang. It's not going to be a formal book. But having studied English in a formal setting and also the level of intensity that I had spent in my lower primary school and high school, how much time I spent learning English, that's what made me refocus and come back to the formal way of writing and come back to the formal way of expressing myself in the English language. That's a very big deal. And I was surprised by that. I really was, because I even started perusing all the books and sites in England, because I was thinking, well, the English language probably might have first been more of a big deal in England, because England, I kind of felt like that's where maybe somebody needs to get permission to do it. And I think I wrote to someone and I said, well, you know, I think I need permission to write in English. I'm trying to write a book. I'm just letting you know that I'm going to be using your language if that's okay. Of course, I didn't get a response, but I just had the need to do that because I kind of felt like this is such a big deal. I've had all these internal feelings about this subject. Probably I need to ask someone for permission. That's the first thing. And then the second thing that I found to be useful, and I think I've told someone this because somebody has asked me, like, just to say, and this is the reason why I'm making this podcast, because many people have asked me, how was it like when you started writing? How can you start from somebody who really has no skill? I mean, it doesn't matter how the outcome is. I'm not saying that, I'm making this podcast because my book is exceptional or whatever. It's just a matter of saying, how can you start from zero and end up at one? Other people start from zero, maybe probably end up at 6 or 7 or at 10 even. But I started from zero, maybe I'm at one. That transformation, I think that's what people are asking me about. What is that transformation? How did you get through the transformation of studying as a nothing and then be able to say, here is a product that I produced with my own ideas, with my own expertise, without really having somebody hold my hand and write down what it is that I end up writing? And that's what this is about. It's not about saying, I'm a wonderful writer, I've written more than one book or whatever it is. It's just saying that I didn't have this before, now I have it. So that's what I'm talking about. So I found that the second thing is you have to be present in your book. You don't participate. You are not part of the characters that you're talking about. You are just, it's like you are gossiping literally about people that you've observed, experiences that these people are going through, and all the problems that you let them face and how they solve the problems. This may be something that you may have experienced yourself in your personal life, but at the end of the day, it's not, you're not writing a biography, you're writing fiction. So you wanna have some type of, fine, you're familiar. Let's say you've been a surgeon, you know how surgery, how, what you're supposed to do, for instance, if you are going to be performing surgery. So if you're writing a novel, fiction, you're not gonna go through and say, well, how to perform surgery. You're gonna say, well, one of your characters had this procedure done. And then you may explain in detail about how the procedure was done. And that's where the reader will be able to tell that you actually do have the expertise of performing that particular surgery. But the idea of the book is not about the surgery. It's about the character that is going through the... That's what I mean. And then another thing that I noticed is that, like, the days of the weeks, when you're talking about something in your book, like, you can't say, on a Monday or on a Wednesday, there was a church event, when in fact Christians go to church on Sunday and they're writing about Christians. You can't say that. And another thing too, you have to be particular about particular experiences, like gender experiences. If you don't want to identify gender, for instance, so you can write about gender neutral experiences, but you can't assign a gender role of a female and then the story is about a man. That confusion sometimes is not acceptable, I think. Well, I don't know, because I'm not an editor. I'm just saying that in general, you want your book to be streamlined. Another thing too is you have to be careful about, you can't talk about somebody who's of low income and then all of a sudden, like, I can say I'm on welfare, but then I have stocks in cryptocurrency, for instance. That wouldn't make sense. So you wanna be in sync. You wanna keep up with But the storyline has to make sense. I mean, I'm not saying, oh, if you're an author, you have to be rich in order to be able to write about rich. No, the point is, your characters, they have to be in streamlined. They have to have believable experiences, even if those experiences aren't true. You're making these stories up, but the stories need to keep up with the thinking behind what the characters are up to, what the instincts of the characters are about, and what they're likely to do and what they're not likely to do. And also something about race. This one, only because race is so controversial, and I think this one really depends on the author and the type of a person you are as a person. Like, are you a tolerant person? I think that's where people get to figure out who you are. But in general, I kind of feel like race, you should also be careful about what it is that you want to talk about. Like, if you feel like you can be taboo, yeah, yes, you can. If you feel like you want to address racial problems and all racial strife, yeah, you can. That's up to you, and that's why you're an author. But for me, I found that because I'm in my own life, I don't necessarily see race. So I try to sort of like build up my characters to be really, really fiction. Actually, I would be very happy if people, after they read my book, if they kind of felt like, you know, I don't think people like that exist. To me, that should be a compliment, only because I want to entertain people. It's not about saying, this is what I've observed with racism, or this is how I felt, these are the experiences that I've had. To me, it's about saying, I want this book to take you to another level, to a level where you can dream, to a level where you can be angry without having to experience anger or have a fight or a discussion with another person. So I want my characters to be so outrageous that they do not have to have like memorable scars that they leave in your heart or in your head. I want my characters to be like, to make you smile, even if they do things that are evil, even if they do things that are bad, even if they are committing crime in whatever story that they are engaged in. I want the reader to be able to say, oh, as if that would happen. I think that's what I'm aiming for. Even if, like, for instance, when I see The Walking Dead on TV, the story is so outrageous, the people look so outrageous that I'm like, oh, I would hate to experience something like that, but probably in my next life I might experience it. Then I guess, and I think that's what fiction is about. It's about saying, that's just too outrageous. I don't think it should happen. And if it does happen, I'll probably hope it to be my next life and I'll be more careful. And that's why I try to exaggerate my characters in terms of things that I find to be taboo. Like, I find racism to be very taboo. So when you read my books, you won't get a sense like, oh, this is an angry black woman, or this is a single mother, or this is a scorned wife, or this is a black person, or whatever. You just get a sense that, oh, this is just person, she might be trying too hard, but I'm not really sure where she's going with this. And that's what I like about not being specific. And to me, maybe this might be a criticism, that's what's behind my books. That is what is behind my stories, because I am more looking for things that are humane experiences, as opposed to facts or fiction. Like, I don't want the person to walk out and say, yeah, I know your novel is fiction, but that will never ever happen. I want the person to say, yeah, it's fiction, but if it were to happen, it would be nice. I think it has happened. I think it might happen. That's what I think also is important that writers should be aware of, especially new writers. Another thing that I found to be interesting was how to use punctuation marks. Of course, if you've learned English under like really strict guidelines, there are ways that you were supposed to use punctuation marks. But I just found that fiction allows people to use tools in different ways, and that's why it's fiction. So I use punctuation marks to sort of like engage the reader, and also in a way to just like help the reader be able to pause and say, oh, I don't think you're supposed to put a comma there. Oh, I don't think, you know, just like it's a technical way of making the person, because I know once we've left school and we've been in our lives for a long time, there's really no need to be formal, there's no need to be precise. But I think, like, let's say you've been raising kids, your life has been so busy, and you read something, you're like, oh, it makes you think of something different. The example for me would be I was busy writing and I'm making corrections with my books. I'm doing all these things. And then all of a sudden I was Googling and then I see this site about soap making. So I look into it and I was like, oh, this is interesting. And I started doing and I started making my own soap. And I looked at the women who were making their own soap. They look like moms who've been working for a number of years or housewives who've been at home for a number of years who are just doing something for extra income. And the more I got into it, then I realized, I was like, you know what? Probably these women, they were good in chemistry in high school. And I'm sure they had even forgotten that they were good in chemistry in high school. But just making this soap and just doing all these things and having to pay attention to all of these chemical reactions which are producing the soap might have taken them back to their life when they were really, really good at school and they didn't know that they're going to end up being housewives. So that's what my aim is when I'm writing my book. I want the story and the experiences that the characters have, I want those interactions, even if the storyline might not be as like a blockbuster story, I want the story to be brisk yet intuitive. What I mean is by intuitive, I mean make the reader be able to remember what was good about them in their lives. Make the reader think about something that they never thought about before. Make the reader want to change their behavior, even if they don't succeed. Just that moment of capturing their attention, I think it's very important. I'm going to add today's podcast, and then I'm going to check and see if I have any more. I think I'm going to be adding any more as time goes on. And I hope you're going to enjoy it. Thank you. Bye. Hi, this morning what I really wanted to talk to you about just my experiences that I had when I decided to start writing a book. I was out of work for a number of years and I had been sick for like 3 or 4 or 5 years, and I decided that in my hands, while I was trying to figure out how to manage my illness, I could just try and distract myself by doing something else that I like. Besides being at home and taking care of my children, I kind of felt like, what else could I do? I wasn't at work. I loved doing my job. And I wasn't shopping. I didn't have enough money to go shopping. And I didn't have any friends at that point because we had moved from where we lived originally. And when we returned, everybody had deserted us. So we just decided to buy a home in a different area, a different part of town. And there was nothing to do in that town. A lot of people who lived in our neighborhood, they just had like young kids. And my kids were almost adult and some of them were like in middle school. And it was just a different place to be. And I've decided, well, since I like to read magazines, I like to read books, why don't I just try and sit down and write a book? And that's how it all started. So I started by writing. At first, it was just me jotting down all my negative feelings about how badly I felt about living in a place where we lived, how tough everything was, how I hated myself for making bad decisions, how I hated my life, how everything was just going downhill and going south no matter what I did. And I would write these diary notes on a daily basis. I would leave them on the counter, read them as the day went by. And every time I had obsessive thoughts, I would just jot down whatever was on my mind. Even if it was taboo, I just wrote everything down. And I developed this sense of routine of wanting to express myself. So one day, instead of just writing down these ideas, I just sat down on my desk and I started writing. The story started. And I felt like, oh, this story is not going to last very long, because if I'm writing a novel should be at least about 50 or 60 pages. But I was thinking, I feel like concluding this story. And I was like, oops, I should try something else. Maybe I cannot write a novel. Maybe at this point I should just start by writing short stories. And that's how I began to realize that I did have talent for writing, because there was an option. I wasn't going to be stuck like, sometimes novelists are, sometimes you find people say, oh, I just blanked out. I just need to sit down and waste time for like maybe 2 or 3 months or 2 or 3 weeks before I can get back to my book. I didn't want to be one of those writers. I wanted to be the writer who had a purpose. It was my first time, and I kind of felt like pausing would sort of like discourage me. It would take away that oomph which I felt like I had, and I wasn't going to be able to get back to my book. So deciding to write a short story for me was such a blessing, because then at that point it organized my thinking process, and I found that I had a lot of stories that were going on in my head, and that's when everything started pouring out. And I found out that also, as you were writing, sometimes it doesn't matter, you can write like have spelling errors, you can have different form, you can think in a certain way and maybe your sentences won't be grammatically correct, but just writing them down is and of itself an experience that you need to go through, because you need to release whatever energy that you have inside you, which tells you that you can write. Writing is not a talent for everybody to begin with. And secondly, the language itself, we all use English as our primary language. So when you're writing, language itself does not allow you to express yourself anyhow. You have to get permission from the language to let you express yourself in that particular language. If you're writing in Arabic, for instance, you want to be focused as an Arabic writer. You don't want to write as an English writer who understands or speaks Arabic. You want to write as somebody who's experiencing those emotions as an Arabic person or as an Arab. So, as I was going through that gleaning process of just getting permission to use English, for me it was important because English is not my first language. So when I did write and I had to sort of like go back and forth, I found out that also not just the language itself, but all the experiences that I'd had, that sort of like gathered and made this big, I don't know if it was something that was like organized against me by my thinking process, but I kind of felt like everything that I believed in, self-esteem, self-worth, self-gratification, and liking others and being kind and loving, all of those good emotions, they turned against me, and they sort of like were asking me, who are you to think that you can exude these feelings on paper? We have these feelings internally, but once you write it on paper, then you are giving them away. You are showing something to someone else who was not aware of that you even possess that emotion, or you even possess that thought, or you're in an ownership of that way of thinking. So I found this internal struggle within me to be an inspiration, because then I've kind of felt like, yes, I am sick, but I have this other project that I have going on in my life. And I really think that instead of thinking about how bad my life has gone, why don't I change gears and think about being literally having somebody stand up to me and say, look, why are you coming this side of the equation? You were sick. Why don't you just remain ill? Why are you now trying to show that part of yourself which you hope you never ever experience or find out about? Once I sort of like understood that that was something that was going on inside me, then writing for me became a freeing experience. I found that once my short stories were finished, I had to go back and revise them. The original thought that I had before was no longer the same as the thought that I had the second time when I made the second revision, the third revision, the fourth revision. By the time I think I didn't even make that many revisions, because the stories were perfect the way that they were, but there was something else going on. What was going on was my conscience was telling me, when you started this adventure, you started to write as a novelist. You did not start to write as a short story writer. Now tell the truth, go back. And I did. So that's how I started writing. So when I went online just to learn just the technical part of it, I found that there were a lot of people who were out there who were literally going through the same process, who were talking about self-publishing, who had all these books that they'd written and they had different experiences. I found that to be really comforting, and I was happy to notice that my story was not like everybody else's, and everybody had a unique story. Nobody was saying, oh, we're all writers, therefore this is how we feel. We're all writers, this is how we believe, this is how we live. So it was really nice to find a community that had all these experiences that were written on paper, her who also wanted to be out there to support other writers. Here are my tips. First, spelling errors. That's a big one. You can never ever have an error in your final product. And also knowing which language you're using. Are you using English or are you using a derivative of an English language that you know, number one? Or if you're not a native English speaking person, you're not writing based on your native language, but using English words. So that's another problem too that I noticed. It wasn't really a problem for me. It was more like I thought, oh, when I first started writing, I was like, oh, I'm going to write in slang. It's not going to be a formal book. But having studied English in a formal setting and also the level of intensity that I had spent in my lower primary school and high school, how much time I spent learning English, that's what made me refocus and come back to the formal way of writing and come back to the formal way of expressing myself in the English language. That's a very big deal. And I was surprised by that. I really was, because I even started perusing all the books and sites in England, because I was thinking, well, the English language probably might have first been more of a big deal in England, because England, I kind of felt like that's where maybe somebody needs to get permission to do it. And I think I wrote to someone and I said, well, you know, I think I need permission to write in English. I'm trying to write a book. I'm just letting you know that I'm going to be using your language if that's okay. Of course, I didn't get a response, but I just had the need to do that because I kind of felt like this is such a big deal. I've had all these internal feelings about this subject. Probably I need to ask someone for permission. That's the first thing. And then the second thing that I found to be useful, and I think I've told someone this because somebody has asked me, like, just to say, and this is the reason why I'm making this podcast, because many people have asked me, oh, how was it like when you started writing? How can you start from somebody who really has no skill? I mean, it doesn't matter how the outcome is. I'm not saying that, oh, I'm making this podcast because my book is exceptional or whatever. It's just a matter of saying, how can you start from zero and end up at one? Other people start from zero, maybe probably end up at 6 or 7 or 10 even. But I started from zero, maybe I'm at one. That transformation, I think that's what people are asking me about. What is the transformation? How did you get through the transformation of starting as a nothing and then be able to say, here is a product that I produced with my own ideas, with my own expertise, without really having somebody hold my hand and write down what it is that I end up writing? And that's what this is about. It's not about saying, oh, I'm a wonderful writer, I've written more than one book or whatever. It's just saying that I didn't have this before, now I have it. So that's what I'm talking about. So I found that the second thing is you have to be present in your book. You don't participate. You're not part of the characters that you're talking about. You are just, it's like you're gossiping literally about people that you've observed, experiences that these people are going through, and all the problems that you let them face and how they solve the problems. This may be something that you may have experienced yourself in your personal life, but at the end of the day, it's not, you're not writing a biography, you're writing fiction. So you want to have some type of, fine, you're familiar. Let's say you've been a surgeon. You know how surgery, how, what you're supposed to do, for instance, if you are going to be performing surgery. So if you're writing a novel, fiction, you're not going to go through and say, well, how to perform surgery. You're going to say, well, one of your characters had this procedure done. And then you may explain in detail about how the procedure was done. And that's where the reader will be able to tell that you actually do have the expertise of performing that particular surgery. But the idea of the book is not about the surgery. It's about the character that is going through the... That's what I mean. And the only thing that I noticed is that, like, the days of the weeks, when you're talking about something in your book, like, you can't say, oh, on a Monday or on a Wednesday, there was a church event, when in fact Christians go to church on Sunday and they're writing about Christians. You can't say that. And another thing too, you have to be particular about particular experiences, like gender experiences. If you don't want to identify gender, for instance, so you can write about gender neutral experiences, but you can't assign a gender role of a female and then the story is about a man. That confusion sometimes is not acceptable. I think, well, I don't know, because I'm not an editor. I'm just saying that in general, you want your book to be streamlined. Another thing too is you have to be careful about, you can't talk about somebody who's of low income and then all of a sudden, like, oh, I can say I'm on welfare, but then I have stocks in cryptocurrency, for instance. That wouldn't make sense. So you want to have, you want to be in sync. You want to keep up with what the storyline has to make sense. I mean, I'm not saying, oh, if you're an author, you have to be rich in order to be able to write about rich. No, the point is your characters, they have to be in streamlined. They have to have believable experiences, even if those experiences aren't true. You're making these stories up, but the stories need to keep up with the thinking behind what the characters are up to, what the instincts of the characters are about, and what they're likely to do and what they're not likely to do. And also something about race. This one, I only because race is so controversial, and I think this one really depends on the author and the type of a person you are as a person. Like, are you a tolerant person? I think that's where people get to figure out who you are. But in general, I kind of feel like race, you should also be careful about what it is that you want to talk about. Like, if you feel like you can be taboo, yeah, yes, you can. If you feel like you want to address racial problems and all racial strife, yeah, you can. That's up to you, and that's why you're an author. But for me, I found that because I'm in my own life, I don't necessarily see race. So I try to sort of like build up my characters to be sort of to be really, really fiction. Actually, I would be very happy if people, after they read my book, if they kind of felt like, you know, I don't think people like that exist. To me, that should be a compliment, only because I want to entertain people. It's not about saying this is what I've observed with races, or this is how I felt, these are the experiences that I've had. To me, it's about saying I want this book to take you to another level, to a level where you can dream, to a level where you can be angry without having to experience anger or have a fight or a discussion with another person. So I want my characters to be so outrageous that they do not have to have like memorable scars that they leave in your heart or in your head. I want my characters to be like, to make you smile, even if they do things that are evil, even if they do things that are bad, even if they are committing crime in whatever story that they are engaged in. I want the reader to be able to say, oh, as if that would happen. I think that's what I'm aiming for. Even if, like, for instance, when I see The Walking Dead on TV, the story is so outrageous, the people look so outrageous that I'm like, oh, I would hate to experience something like that, but probably in my next life I might experience it. Then I think that's what fiction is about. It's about saying, that's just too outrageous. I don't think it should happen. And if it does happen, I'll probably hope it should be my next life and I'll be more careful. And that's why I try to exaggerate my characters in terms of things that I find to be taboo. Like, I find racism to be very taboo. So when you read my books, you won't get a sense like, oh, this is an angry black woman, or this is a single mother, or this is a scorned wife, or this is a black person, or whatever. You just get a sense that, oh, this is just person, she might be trying too hard, but I'm not really sure where she's going with this. And that's what I like about not being specific. And to me, maybe this might be a criticism, that's what's behind my books. That is what is behind my stories, because I am more looking for things that are human, humane experiences, as opposed to facts or fiction. Like, I don't want the person to walk out and say, yeah, I know your novel is fiction, but that will never ever happen. I want the person to say, yeah, it's fiction, but if it were to happen, it would be nice. I think it has happened. I think it might happen. That's what I think also is important that writers should be aware of, especially new writers. Another thing that I found to be interesting was how to use punctuation marks. Of course, if you've learned English under like really strict guidelines, there are ways that you were supposed to use punctuation marks. But I just found that fiction allows people to use tools in different ways, and that's why it's fiction. So I use punctuation marks to sort of like engage the reader. and also in a way to just like help the reader be able to pause and say, oh, I don't think you're supposed to put a comma there. Oh, I don't think, you know, just like it's a technical way of making the person, because I know once we've left school and we've been in our lives for a long time, there's really no need to be formal. There's no need to be precise. But I think, like, let's say you've been raising kids, your life has been so busy, and you read something, you're like, oh, it makes you think of something different. The example for me would be, I was busy writing and I'm making corrections with my books, I'm doing all these things. And then all of a sudden I was Googling, and then I see this site about soap making. So I look into it and I was like, oh, this is interesting. And I started doing, and I started making my own soap. And I looked at the women who were making their own soap. They look like moms who've been working for a number of years, or housewives who've been at home for a number of years, who are just doing something for extra income. And the more I got into it, then I realized, I was like, you know what? Probably these women, they were good in chemistry in high school. And I'm sure they had even forgotten that they were good in chemistry in high school. But just making this soap and just doing all these things and having to pay attention to all of these chemical reactions which are producing the soap might have taken them back to their life when they were really, really good at school and they didn't know that they're going to end up being housewives. So that's what my aim is when I'm writing my book. I want the story and the experiences that the characters have, I want those interactions, even if the storyline might not be as like a blockbuster story, I want the story to be brisk yet intuitive. What I mean is by intuitive, I mean make the reader be able to remember what was good about them in their lives. Make the reader think about something that they never thought about before. Make the reader want to change their behavior, even if they don't succeed. Just that moment of capturing their attention, I think is very important. I'm going to add today's podcast, and then I'm going to check and see if I have any more. I think I'm going to be adding any more as time goes on. And I hope you're going to enjoy it. Thank you. Bye.